Here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, founder of the Heartfelt Foundation, and other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about MSIA.
There are quite a few different types of spiritual realities. And people who are studying spiritual paths really get it confused with religious paths and paths that churches take. And so what I want to talk about is not those things. And what I'd like you to do is to abandon that concept for just a little while, put it on hold, because I want to explain some things to you of what takes place in the spiritual realities inside. And if you're trying to do it according to some scripture, you're going to miss it. But if you do it according to what's going on inside of you as I start to talk about it, then you may find out exactly what I'm talking about. It's not going to make sense. It's going to ramble, going to flow, it's going to jam up, it's going to break loose, it's going to stop, it's going to restart. It's going to do all of those things here. And it's going to do a lot of those things inside of you. First of all, let me identify man's position in the field of spirituality. We sit right in the middle of God's creation of polarities. On one side, we have God in the great kingdom. And that God you can call any name you want to. And then in the lower polarity, below man, we have what's known as the Lord of Negativity. And I'll just tell you this one because it's been called the devil and Satan and Lucifer. Very few people know that that one who's called the devil and Satan was also called the son of the morning star or the firstborn. So when you're starting to put down negative principalities, you better watch out because you're putting down something that God also created. Now, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to explain the relative position for them. Inside of us as human beings, we have a tremendous type of creation in us called both good and evil, if we want to use those words. And I'm going to just to show you polarities. The Lord of existence, or the God of existence, created us in the affection of the Lord's affection, or we're created in God's image. And if we take the word affection and say, we are created in God's love, and therefore we are God's love, and we are the very same essence of that, then we get to find out that we have something very special in this area called the spiritual being. Inside of us resides an energy level that I'm just going to call spirit. And you can call it life, you can call it the soul, and all of that's going to be real fine. Psychologically, you could just call it awareness, and that would be fine. But that it exists, I'm just going to testify to it, and maybe you will also if you're alive. That awareness has a unique place in this creation. And here on earth is the only place that we can have both dualities of the positive, of God the righteous, and the negative, and I guess I should say God the unrighteous, or the negative God, residing in us at exactly the same time. Our nature is a positive nature. Our ability to deal with what is being given to us by God through the Spirit or the essence of life is where we're going to run into the difficulty. God so loves each one of us that without qualification, He instilled within us two premises that make it difficult for us on this planet. One is will and the other is thought. That we have a will power and a thought power. When we have will power and we are exercising the will, we are doing God's work. We are following the will of the Father. When we have thought power, we have the possibility to entertain negativity by way of doubts, negative thinking, ideas of unworthiness, ideas that everything's wrong and it's getting worse. So in here, we have the ability, when residing within a loving of God, to use the will that is part of God's energy to override negativity just through sheer willpower. What does that look like to anybody who doesn't like what you're doing? Well, it's called stubbornness. What is inside of you? Determination. How are they going to know the difference? They won't, unless you tell them. So as soon as you tell them that you are just following a determined path of the will of God, then what you are saying is, I am following the loving in my heart, and I don't have a way to describe it to you. But in comes the thought, and it can tell you every terrible, bad thing that you have ever done or ever thought of doing, and can't tell you any good thing that you could have done. While we're in the thought field, we judge. We judge God, the Creator, God inside of us that is the Creator, through the negative God inside of us who is the judger and the accuser of our ability to be God-like. And it accuses us continuously. You're no good, you're not worthwhile, you can't keep your marriage together, you can't keep your children out of jail, you can't keep a job, there's no hope for you, it's getting worse, and you're going, who needs that? And there it is inside of you. And so to sit down and find the proof that the thought gives you is very easy, because it also supplies you the evidence called, look at your life. And you look back and you go, there's that and that and that and that. And so the evidence just stacks up. So in this one hand, we have the tremendous weight that there is no good in the world. And by saying that, there's no God in the world. On the other hand, somebody comes along once in a while, and they reach out and they touch you, and something goes zip, and the heart comes open, and you go, what is this? It scares me. In the moment the heart opens, the thought comes in and attempts to shut it down. And we sit in this perplexing spiritual position of knowing that it was open and standing and denying it. And the thought in this world is stronger than the will of the heart. And so the thought wins. There's more evidence then, see, it really didn't open. And the thought is more powerful because it could close it down. This light that is shining here in these corners could be looked at as God shining light into me and to you. And what I do with that is going to be determined by which path inside of me I choose to follow and to listen to. If I follow the path of thought, it will take me into the world. And listen, I can condemn every one of you in thought in this world, and I can get the evidence. And it won't take much. Because all I got to do is just find one little bit of evidence. It doesn't have to be accurate, it's just got to be evidence. And that's it for you. See, and I can really lay it on you. Except for one thing, you know that I was no longer in the center of the heart, loving and being spiritual, because now I'm trying to condemn those people out there who have done all these terrible things, either for me, against me, to me, or they didn't do it and I wanted them to. Whatever way that works, whatever means you have to twist it to accuse, then we know how to do that. We've all been trained in it. Blame them is the biggest one. If that doesn't work, then you have to come back inside. And the inner spiritual reality in there says, gee, it's wonderful outside. It's really beautiful, and it's really beautiful inside. At that moment, guess what you're sitting in, because there are no judgments, there are no recriminations, there are no blames. There is nothing out there in that world that is more powerful and worthwhile than what you have discovered called the kingdom of heaven, or the spiritual garden, or the place of oneness, or the center, or sometimes called the Alpha and the Omega. And in that place, there is no thought. If you go, oh, I think I'm in that place, you're back out. Our whole system of life has been to educate us to look out. And yet, the very means of looking out are done by the process of what's inside. And inside, we have inherited the wisdom of the ancients. We have the knowledge of eternities. Now, when you start talking about eternity, you can't do timelines. Because if you do timelines, you're not talking about eternity, because eternity isn't a timeline. It just a is place. And people go, well, then when it says in these books you're going to be damned for an eternity, what does that mean? It means you're going to be damned in an is place. How long is that? Nobody knows. You say, well, I think it's 1,000 years. Wonderful. You're out here in the world thinking and running your thought pattern. Somebody else says 2,000. Somebody else goes 5,000. You go, sold. Or maybe you go, bingo. You won the prize. Nobody can know. And there are no scriptures that can tell you that it is so in a certain way, in a certain method, in a certain time. There are none. Go read them. You'll be dead before you get through. So go ask people that have read them, and they will give you their studied opinion about what they think about that. And you'll know as soon as they give it to you that that's not it. Because it's a thought into the world, and it's going to be tinged with the opinions and the seeking of approval and the wanting of something in this world. People will take the inner information and they'll pass rumors around for their own unscrupulous ends. And as soon as they start their rumors going and their mouth running and the thoughts of evidence accruing, you know exactly who you're talking to. And one of the scriptures said, get thou behind me. That gets behind is the negative thought, the controlling of the mind. The inner part that follows the will is the heart. It knows as a wisdom, not as a knowledge, because knowledge is there out into the world again. But as a wisdom and as a loving, it brings forward inside of you to your sense perception that there is something mighty and magnificent residing inside of your body somewhere, and you can't identify it. And it's there, and it's you, and it's it, and you go in and out of it, and in and out of it. And it's when I'm in my heart, I'm loving, and when I'm not, I'm really miserable. Right. But maybe you haven't heard it explained in a way where the mind thought part gets told what it's doing. So that when it starts to do it, the will of the heart can come forward and take the mind and bring it back in and have it come quiet and serve in life. Now, this essence of who we are could be psychologically related to memory. But it's not the memory of logistic behavior called the train goes down this street and I live at this block. It's the memory of who I am and who I feel I am and who I think I am and that type of psychological memory. We can do without that because that's what the thought grabs onto out of the spiritual form inside of us and brings forward and uses then the psychological implications of our life to place all sorts of negativity on it called resentment, guilt, vindictiveness, and you know them. You can just run them out there for 5 billion people and probably thousands of different variations of that. The simple equation, though, boils down to, so what? Because now that you know that, and when you live that, you damn yourself by having the knowledge that you can live within a spiritual form of loving inside of you, and you choose to fight against the Lord of Lights, or the Father of Lights, or the God of Gods, or the King of Kings, or the Savior of all. That you've chosen to fight against it. Call it by whatever name. It isn't going to change it. Inside then, we have access to two worlds. One is this world here called the natural, that we know by thought, and we know by emotional responses. And those become a reality unto themselves, separate from a reality of real knowing. Then there's another plane inside of us called, let me redefine this, out here is the natural, and this other one is called the supernatural. Not supernatural, but supernatural, as meaning it's still natural, but it's super. And that's the trueness of who we are, and that's the one that we know we are. And knowing that we are that as an eternal essence, and boy, when that floods through the body, it vibrates and comes alive, and you just tingle, and you're in love. And you don't even know who with, and you're looking for somebody. And anybody will do it that moment. This thing flips over into the mind, and you go, yeah, but not you, and 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 not you. And I'm miserable, and I need somebody, and I'm loving, but no, I don't want them, and there's nobody worthwhile. Gee, and a few minutes ago, anybody would do, and now nobody will do. I know, I don't know what's wrong with me. Why am I like that? Inside of you, you have this positive and negative polarity. God created that in us. The materiality of the body is the negative, and what gives life to it is the positive. That positive is a direct conduit to spiritual life. And we can call it to the soul, and by way of the spiritual gasoline, into God. And when it activates as an eternal nowness, it is never in memory. It is never in memory because memory is finite into a timeline in this world, and this other part resides in eternity with no time, no timelines, no reference points. And in that, it lifts itself vibration-wise above the same place of negativity, and you can have heaven here and hell down here, all within the same framework, and you get a choice to walk into hell or to walk into heaven. And you don't walk into heaven by walking into hell. Why was hell created? Because there are polarities in this world, so we know things as differentials. Light for dark, heat for cold, male for female, soft for hard. If we didn't know that, we'd just be going, Everybody'd be walking around going, Now, that's boring in the thought process, but in the real loving heart process, that's joyful. Now, how can we tell when we're moving into a hell pattern? Because the main focus is me and what am I getting out of it, and I don't really care about you. Not really. Except if I say it to get what I want. And that one is trotting right down the path. The other one goes in, and the mere delight of being in the spiritual heaven is one of being useful to the kingdom. And one person's joy is the joy of all beings in those levels. Here's something very interesting. When we traverse into the hell realms, God, and I don't know why it's so merciful, but God is merciful, that we can drop the physical body, go into the realms of hell, and we are allowed to look like human beings. And we see other people, and we go, yeah, I didn't go to hell. These are all people. Hey, they look okay. And they treat you with a lot of respect and a lot of care and a lot of loving and concern to find out what your talent levels are and how long can you hang on and can you hold up. Then the abuses start. The manipulation, the putting down, the hurting. Now, do you have to die and get to there? That happens here in the world when you have a physical body and you're walking around with it and it's taking place in the world here and you're doing it to others and you're damning yourself by your very action and you're pleading spiritual innocence. And God allows the pleading of spiritual innocence because he gives the light of energy into us and then allows us to choose a positive use of it or the negative use of it. And we will what we will. If we will into the loving, the vibration rate of who we are as a being inside starts to pick up and vibrate at a higher level. At that moment, there is an inner affection takes place. And we start to love God. Almost spontaneously, a loving of God comes forward. And in that loving of God, since we are looking into the heart and into God and out, when that is reflected through the eyes, we see the God out there in all things. And there becomes no separation, and we become useful to the kingdom here on earth. Because the joy we have is the joy of all, and the giving of joy to one is the giving of joy to all. Now, just look at the opposite again. The moving to the hell is the what about me? When do I get mine? Look what you've done to me. It's miserable. Why come this, that? And they just start trotting down the path to hell. But in the midst of that, there is an awareness of the heart and the will of God that can still work in through the negativity. And so in the midst of their lying, they know they're lying. In the midst of their deceit, they know that they're being deceitful. In the midst of all the corruption, they know they're being corrupt, and their mouth speaks the beautiful words of non-corruption and everything else. Because they do know, and I should say, we do know. We have constantly the challenge of watching that when we meditate, when we pray, that we do not pray ourselves into a position of damnation, where we draw upon us those spiritual entities that would love to take over and run you, and they'll give you information. And that information will appear to be accurate based upon what you know right now. But when you check it out in the timeline, the information falls apart. The Bible says, check the spirit so that you know who you're talking to. We also know that, because when we're not doing that, the way we know is there's a wonderful, peaceful openness and loving and just reaching out to all people, and saying, I love all of you. And you go, oh, how could you love everybody? Get in that place and find out. Well, I don't want to love everybody. Just love the one you got. I don't want to just love the one I got. I know, you're on your way to hell. Enjoy the scenery. It's not been too good lately. I know. Now, if you want to see beautiful scenery, on the way to God, you can go through hell and it will still be beautiful. You can go through it. Don't stay in it. You don't have a reservation. You have passage. The traveler consciousness comes forward inside of you and comes into that place that is spirit and moves into that little space in between. And you start to feel the awakening of that. Sometimes when that awakening takes place, you're turned over to another type of spiritual teacher to take you through that that you've sown and you're reaping. This new teacher is the best one to take you through that for you. And after you've harvested the thistles, in fact, somebody told me once, you know what a definition of a weed is? And I said, what? They said, a flower growing out of place. And I said, oh, well, maybe that's true. But that leads to all sorts of questions. Who planted the flower? Why don't they plant more like it? Well, misery loves company, but so does spiritual beings love spiritual company. There is a statement in the Bible, and I'm going to close this with that. And it goes like this. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but for me and my house, and that means inside of me, we serve the Lord. Berush Beishan.
John Rogers' closing words were Berush Beishan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.